Well, amen. Amen. It's Friday hymnal. Turn over to number 246. 246, redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Don't you? All right, let's stand together. 246. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Gathered together, and Lord, I pray that you would have your will and way in everything that's said and done here, and with the kids' club and the Heritage Teens. And Lord, pray that you would just bless now, and we'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Good evening, everyone. So today at work this morning, with a coworker, we got talking about the Lord, and he said, "You know what today is?" And I was like, "What?" He's like, "It's one day we're closer to the Lord coming back." Just think of that. It's like, it is getting closer. I mean, the world events, things that are happening. So even comes Lord Jesus tonight and get us out of here. But with that, so let's continue to pray for the school enrollment going good. I know, Pastor, you said that you had a couple that you were interviewing. Is everything going good on that?
One was good, the other one is scheduled for next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are we at now? For?
Well, right there, on the top up there, it's about 10 to 13. We've got 10 confirmed.
Okay.
And 13, the three others that are.
So we're close to your goal.
Yes.
I keep saying more, but we'll take it. And the Lord knows what we need and what we can handle. And certainly we want the best for the kids that do come. We want their lives to be changed, not just educationally, but spiritually. So let's really focus on that tonight, even the kids in the back right now. And then next on the block, we have the spiritual needs. Certainly, we all have loved ones that we want to see come to the Lord. Continually pray for those as a church body. Just pray for one another's loved ones that the Lord will touch hearts and circumstances. And then getting down to this weekend, men, we are just an announcement. We're going to be gathering here for breakfast. So don't miss out. If you're able to come to be a part of that, certainly we discuss things that we're planning on doing. Visions Pastor has, and then we just get a great fellowship in the morning together, having breakfast. So don't miss out Saturday at 9 a.m. And Brother Bob's going to be doing the cooking. Brother John's going to back him up. And he always does the good breakfast first. So just pray that our hearts get touched in that. And as we see just visions of the future, that the Lord would continue to bless this church as he has. Continue to pray for visitors coming back. Certainly, you know, we just need more people to fill the pews and let the Lord touch hearts and lives change. So with that, I'll take up some prayer requests. Cheryl's mom and back pains. Someone else. Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Youth rally. And again, continue to pray for our missionaries, the Ray family. And they're asking for praise items getting into Taiwan. And I don't have that one. Or do I? In here. I do. Sorry. Missionary of the Week, LePages, in Guernsey. And praying for Tino, who is watching over the ministry, and provide wisdom for finances and medical needs for the family. So don't miss those. And again, anybody else? Miss Liz.
I'm going to give a friend that's gone, getting her time off, or 2 weeks of time off with her family in Virginia, her husband and children, and her parents actually returned home from a 2 month trip to China safely, which was wonderful. So they'll be there to help with the kids and everything because she arrived back in Germany this morning.
Okay.
So we just pray for a safe place for her to go to, and we gave praise that she was able to go home and take great time with her family. And
right. Amen. That answered our prayers because we wanted her out of one situation, and it worked out to the Lord answered all of our prayers. So.
Did she finish the training?
She finished the training and graduated at the top of her class.
Nice.
20 started out and only 9 remained. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So we're just so proud. And Jesse got to go up, she flew up for her graduation and was able to make that trip. And so, yeah, it's been a great blessing.
Amen. Brother Joe. See, that's an answer to prayer because we started praying for that last week. We didn't have all the details, but we had some, and we've been certainly. Thank you. Yeah. Ivan. How to say that again, brother? B-E-A-U-X. Bo, B-O. So kind of on something similar, a coworker of mine, his son, wife, 36 weeks along, lost the baby. Then they had to do surgery to remove it. Devastating to the son. My coworker, he's obviously he's going through that. Just it's the Beaver family. Just pray for them if you don't mind. But the mom came through the surgery and everything well, but devastated that they lost their child. And after all that, someone has to have a praise tonight. Something good that happened this week. Amen. There we go. Well, I have a praise. We're going to be traveling this weekend, leaving out early Sunday morning, heading up towards Washington, D.C. So the whole row of us are going. Yeah, we're going to have family trip. Washington, D.C., so we just pray for travel mercies and the Lord keeps us safe while we're there. And with that... traveling. Well, amen. If not, let's take these to the Lord in prayer and lift Him up tonight.
Well, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this evening, the book of Proverbs. You know, there's a story when the Cajuns got brought down from Canada. True story. This is a true story. I know it's dark. There's a Cajun and a... No. This is a true story. I think it is. So when they came down, when they were kind of shifted back and forth, it went from Canadian rule... it went from French rule to British rule, back and forth. Wasn't Canada yet, but went back and forth. And finally, the Brits came in and decimated them and shipped them out on boats and caused them to come down. And many that made it down to Louisiana were... And the way they would mark them is they'd put that X on the end of their name. That's a true story that's maybe fictional. I don't know. But that's where a lot of that X came. And so that's how you know they're Cajun, or at least that's how the story goes. I don't know. Proverbs chapter 1. Like, is that true or not? I don't know. People say it enough and it becomes true, right? Isn't that how that goes? But I kind of think it's interesting that they kept it. Say, I don't care what you say. This is our culture and it's who we are. So we're keeping that thing. Can you imagine for me as a... I did payroll when I was down there in Lafayette for the Department of Transportation. They'd have all these names. There's a name, Solioi, you know, something like that. You know, somebody said, you know what that is? Let's swallow. Swallow is the name of it. And like, come on. How do you get, well, it's French. You know, and I'd look at that and I'd call it and say, I'm looking for the and they'd say, you mean this one? I'm like, no, I don't think so. You know, anyway. So there's a lot of fun for them it was. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. Bible says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. We want to, as we're continuing with a little bit of spending some time, I think maybe about, maybe 6 or 8 weeks we're going to spend on really this, not just passing on wisdom, but the voice of wisdom, and talking about the voice of wisdom that, that calls out to us and so forth. And so last week we saw that wisdom is not an idea per se, but it's a voice that speaks to us. Now we're going to consider what the voice is saying a little bit. I want to talk about a little bit about what the voice is saying. And when wisdom speaks, she does not begin with instruction. She begins with a call. Right? So when you first get a phone call, right, what's the first thing you say? Hello. Or as Samuel said, here am I, right? It's our way of saying, I'm ready, right? So the first thing, she begins with a call, but before she tells us how to live, she addresses where we are, okay? And this is kind of how wisdom deals with it. So number one, the voice of wisdom reveals what we love. Yes, the voice of wisdom reveals what we love. So we have several things here. The simple loves simplicity, right? That's what the scripture says here. How long will the simple love simplicity? So, number one, the simple, and here's the idea of simplicity. The simple remain uncommitted and easily led. So this is this idea of simplicity. It's this idea that's it's uncommitted, easily led around, and we kind of get this. This is a graded list that Proverbs has given us here. It goes from this, from this, and we're going to get to these as we go on. So number two, the simple, they prefer a path that avoids commitments and firm decisions. Right? The person that says, hey, you know, one of the most simple group of people I have found in my life? Bible college students. Bible college students. My girls are planners. I don't know where they get that from. But they would plan an outing for a group of students, right? And these are students that they're probably out of a lot of Christian homes. They were like, had to kind of just walk this tight line, and then when they got out, like, I'm going to do whatever I want. They were so uncommitted. They would get a thing together, and so for it, at Heartland Baptist Bible College, you had to have so many girls and so many boys together before you could do something together. You can't just, it's got to be like a perfect ratio. It's got to be 3 boys and 2 girls. No. 3 girls and 2 boys. Yeah, sorry. 3 girls and 2 boys. So if you get 3 boys, now you got to go up to 4 girls. And, you know, it's like this whole thing. And so you're trying to find this, this Heartland ratio, right? So you plan it. You got to plan it just right. Who's going? You going? You going? Okay, yeah. Yeah, they want to, no, they can't go. We got YouTube, and you go, what do you mean? No, we got to find another person. If you don't go, then he can't, you know, it's just this kind of thing. So you're trying to plan, right? And then it's the time of the event. They've been planning it for weeks. Time of the event, somebody says, yeah, I just thought I don't want to go. Oh, these girls would be, they loved it. So aggravating. So, but this is the thing of simplicity, is this thing of avoiding commitment and firm decisions. By the way, it's not just in Bible college, right? Adults like to do this kind of thing. Hey, we were in a church in Louisiana, by the way. We were church planting down there. And we would have a potluck. We only had like 4 families. We got there, there were 4 families. And so we're going to have a potluck dinner because Baptist Church have to have potluck dinners. That's what we do for fun, right? And so we're going to have a potluck dinner. My wife puts out a sign-up list. And nobody had signed up. And so now you're like, hey, we go around. Hey, would you, are you going to bring a dish? Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to be there. I don't want to write anything. I'm not sure if I'm going to be there. You're here every Sunday. Every Sunday they were there. Nobody, they all came. I'm like, all of a sudden, one Sunday, you're not going to show. It's like, and then they would come and they would bring something, but you're like, so uncommittal. And I said, one year, I said, hey, we're going to have a vacation Bible school. They want a vacation Bible school for the kids. We had kids there. I'm like, we're going to have a vacation Bible school. I said, all I need is someone to like participate. Now, my family did most of everything there. We couldn't get folks to do much. But I said, if we're going to have one, we're going to have at least somebody to drive a van. Can you drive a van? I don't know. I said, well, I'd say, y'all think about it. And if anybody wants to drive a van, we'll have it. If nobody wants to drive the van, we'll wait for another year. You know what we did? You know we waited for another year. We didn't have it. I said, no, we ain't going to do it. We ain't going to do it. If we can't commit, I mean, it's so uncommittal. Man, it was, I love that ministry. There was parts of it. That's a couple bad things. But it, just when I think about uncommittal people, it was just that. And avoids commitment and decisions. I don't want to make a commitment. Can I say that's not godly behavior? Okay? But number three is there. Truth may be heard, but it is never fully embraced. So the truth is heard, but it's never fully embraced. It's like, that's good. Amen. Amen. That's good. That is, I like that. That's good. I'm not going to bring it in me, but that's good thought. It's good stuff. But I'm not going to let it, I'm not going to embrace it or commit to it or live it. That's just, I think, I know some people that really, that'd be helpful for. Not if they took it like I did, right? So number four, life stays unsettled and nothing is ever truly dealt with. This is the simplicity. Simple that loves simplicity. It's like, I don't really want to change. I don't really want to do anything. I'm going to be there. I don't want to commit. Every now and then something might stick. They might be here. They might be in their place. They might do all the things, but nothing ever sticks. You ever known somebody like that? Yeah, we all do. We all know people. I know. I'm not being facetious. Sometimes we are that people, right? Sometimes we are that people that just listens and listens. But sometimes, you know, it's so much easier to see other people that don't do that. And the problem with that is sometimes we don't realize how much we are the simple that are loving simplicity. Quite honest, sometimes I feel very noncommittal. Oh, if I do that, I'm going to probably have to do it. Right? You know what I mean? And so you're like, my wife said, what do you want? You know, one of our favorite, where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? I don't care. We are terrible with eating. And so then we're finally like, let's just go home. Like, no, let's still go home. Because we don't really do a lot of other stuff. So that's eating is our thing. It's always has been. I mean, that's why we have to go on diets. Because, you know, but our thing is like, we don't do all the other entertaining things. So let's go eat. Okay, let's go eat. And so, anyway, it's a little different than the spiritual implication here. But that's that concept. That's the simple loves. But then B, the scorner delights in scorning. Okay, so now look here. Number one, the scorner pushes against truth rather than receiving it. So now we're seeing this next degree. It's not just hearing it and not committing to it or hearing it and avoiding it. Now the scorner pushes against truth. So when truth is coming, pushes against it instead of receiving. The simple will say they received it, but don't. Oh, that's good. Yeah, I'm going to get do that. Okay, the simple is the person walks out and says, Pastor, that was a good message. It's a good message. And I say, which part? You know, all of it. All of it. It just spoke to my heart. Love it. And you're like, well, what? Just all of it. Simplicity. See what I'm saying? It's like, it was good, but I'm not really going to let it do anything to me. It was just good. I enjoyed it. Amen. It's funny, you know, when a lost person's like, man, I just love that message on sin. You know, it's weird sometimes. But now the scorner, on the other hand, they're the ones, they hear the message and they don't like it. You see, they're against it. Number two, there is a tendency, here's another thing, there's a tendency to make light of what should be taken serious. Oh, you people are you're just always so serious. Everything is, you know, wow, everything is Bible. Why does everything have to be this or that? And so there becomes this way. It's kind of a way of shifting, diverting from truth. See, the way I divert from truth is I make light of it. Kind of make a joke of it. Kind of like, it's scorning it. That's this idea of scorning. And then number three, criticism replaces humility. So when the truth, when wisdom hits us, when wisdom speaks to us, when wisdom deals with us, or when truth comes to us, instead of us, what will happen first is you'll hear it and like, ah, man, right? If you're tender to the Lord, you'll hear it, and man, it'll speak to your heart, and it'll stir you. And you feel uncomfortable, you get a little knot in your stomach. There's a little bit of like, wow, God's speaking to me. There's some of those kind of things. But the scorner says, you Baptists, you Christian people think everybody has to, or you whatever, you goody two shoes, you fuddy duddy, whatever it is. So there becomes some way to criticize us that want to look for truth for being the ones that are wrong. Calling evil good and good evil. So there becomes this kind of situation. That's the scorner. They criticize instead of humbly saying, well, it was me, says, yeah, y'all take it too serious, right? And then number four, by standing above instruction, there is no need to change. By standing above instruction, no need to change. That's kind of what happens, right? So if I make light of it, I put it down, I scorn it, then I don't have to change. So really, if you get it here, what the scorner is doing is saying, I don't want to change. And so the way I don't have to change is if I make light of it. Right? So it's kind of it's convenient, isn't it? And then C. The fool hates knowledge. See the degree, see how each one's getting a little bit further. Number one, the fool has moved beyond neglect into rejection. So the fool flat out rejects knowledge, hates it. Probably not too often does the fool come into church. Now, I'm not saying there's never fools in church, because sometimes there are. But typically the fool doesn't want to be around here too long. But you know them. You don't have to wonder. Right? They'll have the scorn look on their face, and they'll say things. They hate it. They reject it. Number two, correction is resisted and instruction is unwelcome. Hey, listen. I've seen that thing that you're doing. Can I just tell you something about it? No, I don't want to hear anything about it. Right? Unwelcome. So I had this uncle. I so badly wanted to. You know, we spent a year in Iowa, in my hometown where I was born. My family's there. I so badly wanted to talk to my family. So we go up there to my family. We're having a different day. Even before we lived in Omaha, we go up there and I try to talk to him. I just start trying to weave some kind of something in to where we could open a conversation, you know. And all I wanted was somebody to like, hey, so what about, and I'm on, I would have pounced on it, but I would start to say something about church. Oh, don't start preaching to me now, is what would happen. I'd start to say, don't start preaching to me. I'm like, man, I was just about to. I was, to be honest, but I hadn't yet. Man, it was so frustrating. But they didn't, it was, instruction was unwelcome. You understand? So three, there is a settled preference for one's own way. So here it is. I don't care. Here's really what it is. What they'll say sometimes, I don't care what you think, but really what they're saying is, I don't care what God says. I've already determined what I think is right, and I'm settled for my way. And then number four, the fear of the Lord is no longer desired. They don't desire the fear of the Lord. So we find these things. And so D, wisdom exposes the heart beneath the life. Okay? Wisdom exposes. Wisdom, that voice crying out, is going to start with revealing our heart before she ever tells us what we need to be looking at and some instructions. So number one, the focus is not simply on behavior, but on affection. Okay? It's not just what you're doing, right? it's number two, what is loved, right? It's not just what is, it's not what you're doing. Well, you do this, do that, do all the right. No. See, we think sometimes, and I say we, just humanity, we think God only cares about the stuff we do. This is why a works-based salvation is so appealing to people. I did the right thing. I gave. I showed up when I was supposed to. I did all the right thing. Absolutely, God is happy with me. It just doesn't work like that. God isn't interested in what we do because we can fake it. Many people do. So wisdom is, the focus is not simply on behavior. It's really what we love, what our affection is. So, two, what is loved shapes what is chosen. So what is love? It shaped it. It shapes us. And so what we love determines the schedule we work. It shapes what we love, shapes how I spend the time with my family. It shapes how I spend the time with the Lord. It shapes my speech. It shapes the conversations I have with people. What I love, I mean, you don't have to be around somebody very long that's a big sports fan to know what team they're a fan of. Unless they're a Cowboys fan, they try to keep it quiet. Right? You know what I'm saying? Woe is me. And so what this thing does is that what we love shapes what is chosen. And then number three, wisdom brings that to the surface. And that's what wisdom wants to do. Bring it to the surface. Wisdom wants to bring out where you are in your life. Don't we love that? Isn't that great? I love all of my fallacies to be exposed. No. Can I tell you, we don't love it until we get through it. You understand what I'm saying? When God rips open our heart and starts really exposing to me where I'm at, I don't like it. Honestly, I don't like it ever until I deal with it. So if I'm willing to deal with it and I get through that and the other side, I look back and I'm like, man, praise the Lord. You know, the other side of the pit is so sweet. The pit itself is pretty nasty, right? So this is how it works. And so this is what wisdom wants to start with. And so number two, the voice of wisdom confronts a settled pattern. The voice of wisdom confronts a settled pattern. Look at verse 22 again. He says this. He starts with this question. How long? Okay? That's the question. How long? So, A, wisdom exposes that this is not new. It's not new. This is the... Number one under that, this is not the first time truth has been heard. It's really what wisdom is saying. And so we find under here, the simple have remained simple. That's the point. The scorner has continued scorning, and the fool has stayed settled against knowledge. Listen, here's what the voice of wisdom is trying to bring out. There's a pattern. There's been a pattern in your life. But a pattern in your life. And that's what he's saying. That's what she's saying, rather. How long is this going? The simple, you've been... How long are you going to be simple? How long are you going to love simplicity? Right? How long are you going to keep scorning and hating knowledge? And you have already. So number two, time has passed, but nothing has changed. This one, that hurts. When God begins to reveal this to us, hey, you've heard it before. You've been down at this altar before. You've said before this would be the last time. And here we are again. Hey, simple, how long are you going to love simplicity? That's what wisdom's saying. You know, wisdom's voice to us, the call of wisdom is this. Here's where you're at. How long are you going to stay there? Wisdom reveals that delay is a choice. It's a choice. Some of y'all want to guess. I'm letting some of you. Okay, mostly my family. In these two. So, wisdom, listen, that delay is a choice. Okay, there's a choice that's being made. This isn't, oh, I didn't know, right? Number one, how long brings attention to the fact that something could have been different? Okay? You know what wisdom? Wisdom is real interested in giving us excuses, isn't she? Nah. No excuse. You know what she's doing instead? Wisdom here isn't a comforter. Matter of fact, wisdom here is really trying to discomfort us so that we'll see. You ever done something really stupid? Yeah, of course, we all have. But you ever done something really stupid, and then you turn around and did the same thing again, and then did the same thing again, and did the same thing again, and you just look at it and you're like, can you see wisdom saying, how long are you going to keep doing that? You're making a choice to go into that. You know it's wrong. It's what we call that, doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Insanity is what they say. That's the definition. You keep doing it. And if somebody said, hey, buddy, I don't think that's going to work this time. That's not how wisdom calls out to us. Wisdom's trying to reveal something in our heart. Listen, really, it's this. This isn't a lack of opportunity. Well, it's not my fault. No, it is. It's your full-on, your choice. That's a little hard, isn't it? It's a little hardcore. Well, there's a lot of things that cause me to do that. That's fair. Fair excuse. If excuses are fair. Right? You ever had, you say to your kid, why did you do that? Wasn't my fault. I wasn't going to eat the last cookie, but I was hungry. What was I supposed to do? Oh, well, that explains it. Everything's forgiven. But isn't this kind of how we, as adults, we want to do the same thing with God? And look here, number two. It is a pattern of, watch this, of postponing what has already been made known. Okay? Here's what happened. Here's what wisdom is saying. You know where you're at. You already know this. But you keep postponing. You always say stuff like this, I'm going to deal with that when this happens. I mean, don't raise your hand. In your heart, you raise your hand. You're like, I've been there. When this happens, then I'm going to do that. You know when this is going to happen? Because you know what we like to do? We like to do this thing called moving the goalposts. Right? When this happens, I'll do that. Well, then that happens. You're like, well, when that and this happens. And that. And the other thing. I'm going to tell them. The moment this happens, I'm going to tell them what. And then that happens. You know, I thought you were going to tell them. Well, No, stop. You know, then that's when we make light. Quit, you know, then we get grumpy. We get, ah, don't tell me that. Don't hold me to what I said I would do. And human nature, you're like, how do you know all that about us, Pastor? Right? Because we're all of the same flesh, aren't we? You're like, how do you know this stuff so well? Because I am that. This is me too. Right? We do this stuff. And number three. The issue is no longer awareness, it is willingness. So wisdom reveals that we've made a choice. Okay, this isn't I didn't know, this is a willingness to make the right choice. And then see, wisdom brings the hearer to a point of decision. Wisdom brings the hearer to a point of decision. So number one, the question does not allow the moment to pass quietly. Doesn't allow it to pass quietly. No. Wisdom isn't trying to just, you know, I think I find myself guilty of on this one side of this. I think there's a ditch on both sides of the road, right? But if the one side I sometimes can, you're like, I don't think so. Maybe I just think that in my head. I think sometimes I want to drive the nail, you know what I mean? Just kind of give it, I'm like, I want to give him some time because I don't want to, as a pastor and as people, I don't want to push somebody so hard we lose the opportunity to still minister to them. But wisdom doesn't play by those rules because wisdom's dealing with the heart. Because the problem with us doing that is I can let the flesh get in and I can go too far because it's my will and not the Lord's way. But wisdom doesn't speak like that. Wisdom wants to speak right to us and deal with right where you're dealing with. Man, right where you're at, and only he knows, she knows. Sorry, she clearly is she in there, because that's what it's grammar. So she deals with this thing, gets right to our heart, right where we're at. And so we, when we get upset with wisdom, really upset with God. And she's not going to let that pass quietly, right? It's going to be, this is really bringing us to a point of decision. Number two, it forces the hearer to consider where they are and how long they've been there. Okay? How long have I been this way? Man, that's a good question for us to ask sometimes. When God begins to deal, how long have I been delaying this decision? How long? It's a good question, isn't it? Well, I know I need to, Pastor. I know I need to. Well, what are you, like, actually waiting for? Well, I don't know. Like that, it really gets uncomfortable then, doesn't it? See, it doesn't let the moment pass quietly. That's what wisdom wants to know. How long? Number three. Not Roman numeral three. Last number. What has been delayed must now be decided. That's the deal, right? Really, this is what wisdom's doing. Say, you know, you've delayed it. It's time. How long are you going to deal with this? No more. So number three. Roman numeral three. The voice of wisdom calls for a decisive turn. Look at verse 23 again. It says, turn you at my reproof. Okay, here's the thing. A, the call is to turn from what has been exposed. Okay, this is the whole thing. Wisdom is trying to call us and say, hey, I got your number. Got your number, buddy. I know where you're at. I know where you're at in your heart. I'm going to expose it. How long you've been there. I know this is where you're doing. Now it's time to turn from what I just showed you. Right? It's time to turn. It's time to turn. Number one, this is not a general call. It is specific. It's very specific. So the simple must turn from loving simplicity. Okay? Again, what do the simple need to do? Quit delaying commitment. By the way, we're not just talking about commitment to a relationship, maybe, I don't know, but not just a commitment to a work schedule, commitment to the Lord. And we need to see it as it's a commitment to the Lord. He said, how long are you going to do that? It's time to turn from that simplicity. Quit. The scorner must turn from delighting and scorning. Quit taking it lightly. Quit taking the things of God lightly. Quit kind of mocking it and kind of having that kind of way that draws me from it. And then for the fool must turn from rejecting knowledge. And man, could you ever even imagine a fool turning back and saying, all right, I'll hear you now. But they do. I've seen it, folks. I'm telling you. I've seen it. Now, I'm not saying because they come back and receive knowledge that they turn and their life becomes forever sweet. But there's times when they will stop hating knowledge for a moment and listen to something. And you're like, man, I don't know if that's ever going to happen with the person I'm thinking about. It can. I'm not saying it will because I don't know that. But it can. I've seen it with people. Sometimes they'll listen. Sometimes it'll turn their life. Sometimes it'll turn their life and you're like, wow, when they listened. And this is what wisdom is doing. It's calling us to see where we're at and make a decision on that. So number two, under that, what was revealed in the heart must now be forsaken in life. Listen, I mean, this is so simple, it doesn't seem like spending much time. But the fact is, when God convicts our heart about something, we ought to deal with it. That's why we have an invitation right after the service. Right after service, when we have in the morning, on Sunday, we have a service. We have an invitation. So God has revealed something in my heart. We come, and this is why we call it an invitation. Well, I can deal with it in my seat. But most people won't. When I say most people, I mean I've rarely seen somebody come up afterwards and say, "Pastor, I really made a deep decision in the pew and I didn't move, but it's changed my whole life." I rarely find that to be the case. But when somebody comes forward, and sometimes it's with tears and weeping and you know, long. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just I've came forward and stepped that. I think there's some action about coming to the in front of the people. It's a humility. There's something about it. But it's this thing of I'm going to forsake what was that. So B, the call must be answered at the moment of reproof. That's what he talks about. It's what the scripture talks about in verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Okay, you heard it. You've been reproved. Deal with it now. I'm going to deal with it later. When I get home, I'm going to deal with it. And how long are you going to love simplicity? How long are you going to love dealing with that? How long is what he said? How long? Just one more night with the frogs, right? Pharaoh said, tomorrow. So let's one more night with the frogs. I'm going to live with the frogs in my food, in my bed, in my... Who would do that? It's somebody, you know, it's somebody that's just still, they had in their heart, hadn't turned, is who it is. So number one, the moment of correction is the moment of opportunity. It is not something to wait until later to consider. Folks, listen, I'm not talking about this concept. Well, I got to strike while the iron's hot. I don't believe that. I think that can be silly. You know, if somebody's, you know, they're really close to salvation, you got to get saved now. You might never get, you know, we kind of pressure stuff. Now, I don't mean in that sense, but if God's dealing with you on something, don't put it off. Turn at my reproof is what wisdom says. Turn at it. Don't wait for something else to come along. Because we could be pretty good at quenching the spirit. Right? Number two. When truth confronts, that is the time to respond. That's the time. So number three. Delay only strengthens the pattern that has already been exposed. Okay? To delay is to disobey. Yeah, that's what we taught our kids. To delay is to disobey. We say, hey, come over here. Don't make me count to 562. 401. You know what I mean? Where do we end that? You know, don't make me. I've watched parents say, 1, 2. Like, so you said, okay, you can disobey a little bit longer. You can disobey a little bit longer. Could disobey a little bit longer. And then we wonder why we have that same pattern. We kind of do that same thing. Maybe the reason we do it with kids is because we do it with ourselves. I know God said to do this, but I'm just going to kind of wait a little bit longer. Listen, it always strengthens. To delay only strengthens the pattern that God has already exposed to you. I know it's hard, folks. The pit is ugly. Pit is dirty. Stinky. It's painful. It's not pleasant. It's not. I mean, I'm not. Seriously, it is not a fun place to be. But if wisdom has shown us and revealed that we're there, you're already there. You're already there. Well, I don't want to. You know what I'm really saying? I don't want to actually get past this. I want to just stay there. I don't know how to even make sense of that. You say, don't you ever do that? I wish I never did that. Sometimes I'm just as foolish. I love simplicity, just like the simple. Why don't you do that? Well, listen, the voice of wisdom is not distant or unclear. It speaks directly to the heart and reveals what is loved. It reveals what is loved. And it confronts how long it has remained and calls for a change. That's what wisdom, the voice of wisdom does. So here's our challenge tonight. I want you to ask this question to yourself. Where has truth already spoken to me, yet I've not responded? I want you to ask yourself that question. And then, what has been known? What have I known? Maybe this tonight you've already said, I know exactly what God has used this. I don't even ask the question. It's already brought up in my mind two or three times tonight. but what has been known but not acted upon. The difference between the wise and the fool is not found in what they hear, but in how they respond. Father, I do pray that you would help us to take this, your truth and the voice of wisdom and the power of your word on our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would, when we are drawn and convicted, Lord, that you would do a work in our hearts that would help us to stop this pattern. How long? Lord, you've given a voice to wisdom. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to listen. Lord, I give you thanks and the praise for it now. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.